Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to join us again. Thank you for coming and join us here. We are in the book of Mark, so get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and it's time to seek out the Lord, and we're looking into walking with the Lord. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
So again, thanks for joining us. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 6. We started reading in, the context is 45 in chapter 6, verse 45 to 52. And it begins with straightway or immediately Jesus constrained his disciples. In the book of Mark, we're looking at things that the disciples did immediately. In some cases, the disciples are like waiters. In the context before, they fed the 5,000, and the 12 were giving out the loaves and the fish. They were the waiters. Everybody else, picture in your mind, the crowd was sitting down. What happens in a restaurant? Who sits? You know, certainly not the waiters. They're running around. The cooks and all the people waiting on people are scurrying about. They're on their legs. But the people in the restaurant are sitting. So the crowd is sitting, and Jesus and the 12. So our idea in reading the book of Mark is to walk with the disciples as they're following Jesus. Now, our eyes are going to be on Jesus. Sometimes just a couple of disciples are going to be there with Jesus. Sometimes a whole group, all 12, are going to be there with Jesus. And one is Judas Iscariot, by the way, all the way to the end. He's the one that helps sell Jesus. But you didn't hear that because we're not at the end yet. But anyway, and then there's sometimes a whole crowd is going to be there, and the 12 are going to be with Jesus in the crowd. So Jesus had the crowd sit down orderly in groups of thousands or 50s and hundreds. I was going back into the Old Testament about the captains of thousands, 50s, hundreds, and tens. Actually, it went down to tens. But here, it doesn't talk about tens in the New Testament. It talks about 12s, the 12 apostles. So here from now on in the New Testament, here in Mark, we're going to look at hundreds and 50s and 12s, but all that ate were 5,000 people, and the feeding of all them was absolutely miraculous. And it was shown several times how miraculous that was. And if you want to listen to that, that's show number 462. And we're into number 463 in this series of walking with Jesus. And so, but we're not only walking with Jesus, we're walking with Jesus, and sometimes when he's alone on a mountain with God, sometimes he's with his 12 disciples, sometimes he's in a huge crowd, sometimes there is one person that is ailing, and he's a doctor. He's healing them. Or they're dead, and he wouldn't be a mortician. He's a doctor with the paddles, you know, bringing them to new life, but in a gentle way, but a new life. So sometimes the disciples with him are waiters at tables. Sometimes they are teacher's aides teaching. Sometimes they're sent out as salespeople. We were sent out alone to bring people in and to call people to repent, change your mind. The first thing Jesus said in Mark 4:17 and in 4:19, he says, come and follow me. So they're not telling them to follow them. They're telling them, come with me. We're following the creator, God of heaven and earth, God of the heavens. And sometimes they are nurses and aides helping in a hospital because people need healing. Sometimes they're in a mental hospital because people are demon-possessed and they're acting like mental patients. And that causes a lot of it is demon possession. And some of it is mental illness. But they are nurses, they're aides. So these disciples have to put on a lot of hats. So it looks like an apostle maybe has the ability to do a lot of things, to help Jesus in a lot of different ways. Maybe not be perfect in one, but to help in a lot of ways. Like Paul, I think, understood all the ministries so he could help all the young people come up and be good at what they did, the job they did. It's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah.
So we're in Mark, and the context is 45 through 52.
And straightway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself sends the crowd away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, about the fourth watch of the night he comes unto them walking on the sea. And he would have passed by them, but they, when they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. For all saw him and were troubled. But he straightway spake with them and saith to them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, for they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened.
And that's the end of the context. So here are the 12. They've been with Jesus all the way up to this point, but this is this continuation. It's and. We're still continuing on from Mark chapter 1. This is an interesting thing we've noticed about Mark that none of us saw this before, but just doing this series, it just shouted at us. It started that in Mark chapter 1:9, it started way, this whole series of combining all these contexts together into this passage, this is how it starts. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth, from Galilee. He was baptized of John into the Jordan. And I'm going to skip to the next context. And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness and he's tempted. And then next he is, and this is a continuation of this passage. It's the whole story about him getting baptized, being tempted of the devil, him being beginning his ministry, that now that he's been proven by this temptation and passed with absolute flying colors perfection. None of us could have done what he did. It's amazing what he did because his father is not only of men's lineage, we found out in Matthew, but it's also the Holy Spirit. He is born, and his father that gave him birth, mom was Mary, but he was of the Holy Spirit, the King of righteousness, the King of peace. Jesus, the Son, is the Prince of peace. You got the Father, the King of peace, King of righteousness, and you got the Son, Jesus, the Prince of peace. That's a very interesting, very clear distinction, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it is.
When you think about it. And then he goes passing along the sea, starts gathering the disciples and so on, and then they start walking with him. And you can go way back to some of the earlier tapes in this, and you're around show 454, 455, 456, if you missed anything on this. And so this is a continuation of this whole story, and it starts with, and immediately he had his disciples go out on the boat, and they're alone in the boat, and he comes walking on the water. You know, if you've never seen that before, do you think there was a few people maybe shocked what is this? Who is this? Another story says they thought he was a ghost, but I can't say that yet, can I?
Well, it says that right here in that context. It says they cried out.
Oh.
And they all saw him, and they were troubled. And they did say they supposed it was a ghost.
Oh, I thought that was in another place that I just remembered in my mind.
No, it's supposed
it's here.
Was a ghost, and they cried out.
So I don't have that good of memory. We just read it.
It's right here.
So I can't say my memory's improved. But and then again, immediately he spoke with him. He's a servant. Jesus is a servant. He's the chief of servants. He knows how to serve everybody, and he's wearing everybody out going out with him. And sometimes they just crashed. They were so sleepy. And so he goes with them in the boat, and they didn't get it because their heart was hardened. What that's saying, the circumcision of the heart, which is going to happen in the book of Acts, he will circumcise our heart, foretold back in the Old Testament. He's going to circumcise our heart to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. And that hasn't happened yet. Their heart was still hard because they're still men. They have men's hearts. What's a man's heart like? Sounds like hard, for one thing.
There's a place in Jeremiah that says the heart of man is desperately wicked.
Above
all things, who can know it? And so here the people that Jesus was working with didn't have a heart that was right yet, but yet they were just doing what Jesus said and going on down the road. And they had their limitations in understanding things.
They're going to change in the book of Acts. I can talk about that a little bit. There's going to be a drastic change. People are going to act one way like Peter, and then you're going to see Peter in a whole different light, and people are going to treat him like he was Jesus. He's going to be so close to Jesus that he's going to do things just like Jesus. And then later on, he writes 1st and 2nd Peter, and you're going like, that's not Peter, you know, who feared that girl and denied that he walked with Jesus. At the end, when Jesus dies on the cross, they're all going to deny him because they still don't have that new heart. But they all get new hearts except for one, of course, Judas Iscariot. And then you're going to see, when later on when you get a little older in the Lord, you'll read the book of Peter, you're going to remember these words. That's not Peter. That's not the old Peter, the man Peter. This is the new Peter, the new circumcised heart Peter. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. That's Psalms 51. What did you see in that, Andy, in that context we just read? Or what have you seen so far in the book of Mark?
There could be people now that really try to follow Jesus, and they find that they're limited, and that they don't understand things, and they get hard-hearted about things, and it's because they're not all the way with him yet. They haven't gotten this new heart that you were talking about. So don't be disheartened. Don't lose. How would you say? What did you say about?
Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart. But what is it about the Christian? The what type Christian? Someone that can't get any victories on things. Disappointed. Don't be disappointed. Jesus has more for you. There's hope. Don't be disappointed. Keep following him. He has something more than you know right now. If you're hearing about this, getting a new heart, and you've never heard of such a thing, well, these are true things, and we're going to talk more about these things as we go along.
You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come within you, and you will witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come within you.
That's someplace in the Bible, in the New Testament. Anyway, you shall receive, and that power is the what power?
It's this dunamis power.
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
And this dynamite is way bigger. It won't just take, even an A-bomb, if you explode one on a mountain, it just digs a little hole in the mountain. Oh, I mean, it looks big to us, but the power you're going to get is going to be able to do what to that mountain?
Tell it to move into the sea, and it will be thrown into the sea.
Pick up the whole mountain.
And throw it in the sea.
And throw it in the ocean.
So, see, people have within themselves what they call a lot of heart. We're talking about not a person's type of a lot of heart, God's type of a lot of heart.
And that heart will expand.
It expands, and it has the power of God.
God seeks for himself a man after his own heart and his own mind. Are you that man? And I'm talking, when I'm saying that, I'm just saying one gender. But the Bible does not distinguish genders when it's saying that. When he's talking, are you that man? Are you that woman? But the Bible doesn't talk that way. It's just a category, like a ship. And God is definitely not sexist. So genders don't mean the same they do in the English language. This, you got to think like God does. If a husband does not give to his wife the respect that she is a joint heir, H-E-I-R, not error, E-R-R-O-R, hair. I'll call it a hair, H-E-I-R, joint heir, heir of righteousness, like heir of a fortune, when the predecessor dies.
An inheritor.
An inheritor. You will inherit. A joint inheritor as a son of God. And it says son of God a whole bunch of times. It is meaning men and women, so don't get hung up on that. Apparently, anybody that picks at that does not understand the Greek language at all. And maybe people get hung up at that and become prejudiced and become, it's just for men. A son of God is a man or a woman. And to be a son of God requires the adoption, whether man or woman, and too much is made of this today. And because some people have become sexist. They have become, males only, the male only club or whatever, and they haven't realized.
Well, and make that point you were going to make earlier is that if a man didn't pay attention to his wife.
As a joint heir. Equal heir.
Then this is the point. What's the point?
You tell him.
That your prayers will be cut off.
You don't have access to God.
He'll cut your prayers off until you get acting right.
If you're a a male dominator.
And I tell you, he says he will cut off your prayers to him. And you go, you mean he won't even hear me? That's correct.
You know, when he rose from the dead, I hope it's in Mark, but when he rose from the dead, Did he send one of the disciples to tell everybody? Who did he send, male or female?
That's a question that we're going to find out possibly in Mark.
What? I can't tell him that?
No. Don't go out of here.
Andy.
We're trying to be good and stay in Mark.
I can't be good, Andy.
Yes, you can.
Okay, we'll get into that when we get there. So that means, you know what that means? You got to keep going. You got to keep listening to this. But we know something that because we've read this before, but maybe it's in another book. But we've made this thing that we're just gonna look at what we know from Mark. So we're gonna find if this
thing. And one more thing on the heart. There's a man heart, and then there's a God heart. We want to get the God heart because it is all the change in the world in us.
Andy just quoted that scripture, the heart is deceitful above all else. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
So you can't know your own heart.
You don't know
it. Because it'll lie to you.
Yeah, it's already lying.
Your own heart lies to you.
You know, people tell a dog, down, down. You know, man's heart, down, down. Get down there. Bad heart.
Man's and another heart. Scripture that Gilbert was, I think he said this one, that a new heart has to be created in us, and it has to be made clean, not a deceiving heart, but created. That means all new. A new heart within us and a clean heart.
Any used parts in it?
No used parts.
No used parts. Create is the Hebrew word bara, and renew a right spirit within me. This is in the book of Psalms. This is Hebrew, and this is bara, and it means to make from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This term, we know it's from nothing by following all the context. This word is never used about anyone else but God. And when man does it, it's usually the word gasha. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve and Satan had their go at creating something new. And God comes to them after they, you know, after the fall of man. This is Genesis chapter 3. And instead, look what is this you've created? Look at the mess you created. And it's the word gasha. In other words, look at the mess you made of what was perfect. And he said that to man, and he said that to Satan. Look at the mess you made. They can try to duplicate. Satan made it his way. And look at what we're looking at today. We're looking at Satan's, not creation, his mess he made.
So man can modify his behavior, and man can do that, but he cannot fix his own heart.
That takes creation to make from nothing.
Yes.
To make brand spanking new.
The next context is 53 through 56. And when they had crossed over to the land, they came into Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they came out of the boat, straightway the people knew him and ran about the whole region and began to carry about on their beds the ailing wherever they had heard he was, and wherever he entered into the villages or into the city or into the country, they laid the sick in the markets and besought him that they might touch it if the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole.
So here we saw back here where Jesus and the disciples were waiters in a huge restaurant serving 5,000 people at once, and their servants feeding the people. Now we see a whole different look-see at Jesus, and he can't get away, and they saw him. And I think, did it talk about that one that was delivered of demons in this area? So they knew him because of a past miracle. And they come back and they saw him and knew him because of that this man that was terrorizing them was made whole and sitting in his right mind. And he had 2,000 demons in him. You talk about insane asylum material to be mentally ill. He was the poster boy, shall we say. So the people turn the country and villages into a huge infirmary. Or you go to the emergency room, and what's the other way they call it? The emergency room or—
Triage.
Yeah, and they go into triage.
Yeah.
But there's another room. You go to emergency room, but it's a little lower than that. Where you go— just get regular care.
Oh, okay.
Oh, urgent care. Anyway, so we got urgent care. So now these people, you put on another hat. Now they got on the doctor hat. Jesus is the only doctor here, by the way. And you'll notice that when you're looking at this, and even today, Jesus is the only doctor. We could be the hands. We could be like nurses and so on, and aides. Or specials like X-ray tech, or you could be things like that. But Jesus is the great physician. He is the one that ultimate, whether it's this time or now, today, it is Jesus that raises the dead. So we call on his name, but we're walking with him. So here's another view. Here they're alone for a little bit, just the 12, right? Well, 13 is Jesus too. He's walking. One time there was 12, and now they thought it was a ghost, and now it's Jesus. He joins them. Now there's 13, and all of a sudden, here they are again. They're in the countryside, and love meets a need, and here we go. Everything has to change. They don't need food. They don't need five loaves and two fishes. They need healed. They're sick. And they laid him in the markets and besought him that he might touch, that if they might even touch the hem of his garment or border, and they were made whole.
Because they've heard about that woman before that was in the crowd, that he touched her garment. He says, power has left me. They heard about this story. They've heard about it because they are looking just to touch it.
They knew about that.
They knew
somehow
about that
or another,
miracle
the message
that has
went.
Gotten around.
Yeah.
This information has gotten around. All you have to do is touch his garment and you can get healed.
Now, so the ministers, they have a flock of 1,000 people in a mega church or one of the regular churches here, you know, in the valley or wherever we are. All of a sudden, people are not in there hearing the sermon. They're all out in the field getting healed, and this person, they know nothing about him. He's out there laying hands on people, or they're touching the hem of his garment and being healed. And one place it says the whole world has gone after him. And these are the religious leaders, and this man just bought a new Mercedes or a new Chrysler or a new Cadillac, and he might not get the same wages he used to get. So, and the Pharisees, we're going to call them the religious dudes of the day, and the religious dudes of the day gather unto him, and certain of the scribes, now are they going to be friendly, or what do you think?
Well, we haven't heard good of them so far.
They've
not acted right so far.
They haven't called Jesus brother, even though he was brother of the tribe of Judah. There's even in the book of Luke, it shows, I think even goes through the priesthood. It shows that I can't say that, can I?
No.
I'm in trouble.
No trouble, just no.
Okay. Mark chapter 7, 1 through 23. But do you have anything else to say, Andy? Oh, we're almost coming to an end.
And again, this is a continuation. It's and.
We're coming to an end.
Oh, of this.
I was trying to hint to you and say we're coming to an end. We are coming to an end. So now the next one, we get to follow them when the religious leaders come in there, and we're going to see if they handle him in a positive way, because we've been taught to be like Bereans and prove people right. And we're finding out a whole different attitude with the religious leaders. And we'll see you again. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.